Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast. We are so excited about what God is doing in North America among church planters, partnering churches, and field partners. We invite you to listen to some of North America's best practitioners in the field of church planting. Now get ready, because the conversation is about to begin.
Welcome to the Church Planting Group podcast hosted by the North American Mission Board. Well, today I have our exciting guest is Jason Dukes. Now, I feel like I've known Jason for a long, long time, but it's only because I've known his father, Jimmy, for a long, long time. And though you probably loved him first, we loved Jimmy. He was a professor at my school when I graduated from New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and just really enjoy the time, you know, with him and stuff. And he's here in Orlando, which is really nice because you're planting a church in Orlando to see Dad in the nearby, you know, get to hang out with the grandkids and all that. So, but Jason, welcome today.
Thanks so much, man. Yeah, he's an amazing dude. He and Mom actually moved here in June of 07. Which we were thrilled of, and then now recently he moved across the street from us.
So. Oh, I didn't know that part. So that is really pretty good.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
So your kids get to hang out and walk across the street almost.
That's
so
right.
That's right. I didn't know that part. That is really cool. Yep. So praise God for that. Well, you're the pastor, planted the church, West Point Church, and tell us a little bit about that journey. And I know we've interviewed you before, but it's always current and always fresh. So tell us about just how the church is doing and where you're at, and then we'll move into some other things I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, you know, we ended up in Orlando, my wife and I did, in 99, and I served with a local private high school, kind of like a campus minister, and then became a college pastor with a local church family here. And from there, in about April of 2002, we got a guy from the Florida Baptist Convention contacted us and asked, would you like to plant a church? And you know, we very sincerely, we'd never sent a resume for that. We'd never even thought of that. I mean, I had dreamed of pastoring a church that would give herself away. That had been my thought since 19, and but hadn't thought a lot about church planning. And so we were like, wow, that sounds great. And sounds like an adventure. And they assessed us and thought things would be okay. And so I had a little bit left in my master's. We went back and did that. Came back in December of 03 and just began to hang out with folks on the west side of Orlando, out north of Disney. Mm. In the community out there, a new development called Horizons West. And so we did that. And in February of 04, we started meeting in this painter's living room. And he was kind of a person of peace, as we like to say, in Southern Baptist circles. And it was just an outstanding journey from there, very sobering. We hung in his room for a while, really began, I think, to earn some trust in the community, in the way we connected and served. And then we went and had kind of a public gathering, if you will, in September of 04, and went from there. And that was in a community center there in Summerport, which was the flagship community of this huge development. Only building at that time out there that would even hold a large group. I mean, it was still very, so we were the first plant. We decided, let's don't go back into the city. Let's really focus out there in that development as people move in. And so we've done that. And then a year later, in August of 05, an elementary school opened. We began to gather there and began to serve those families. And so we have this amazing relationship with the administration there and the way we've loved and served them and their families, and we continue to gather there.
And that's kind of a key for our planters that are running schools, whether it's an elementary, middle school, or high school. It's really important that it's not just about running. It's about investing your life back into helping that school and helping those families. You've been a great example. But that's really if you're not going to do that, running a school is probably not the best thing for you.
Probably not, because it's not easy. Because you're in and out, setting, you know, you really can't keep a lot unless
Up and tear down every Sunday. Yeah.
Now, we've been blessed because we went in and we told them first thing, because it's funny, the day the school opened up for the first time, I mean, ever, was the day
after. I remember you showing me when they were building.
That's exactly right. For the day after the first time that they we gathered. So we gathered the first Sunday before they opened. And we told them point blank that summer when we met with them, we don't want to just rent from you, we want to serve you. And they didn't believe us, I don't think. I think they were still skeptical. But about a year later, I think we had shown, we're really here for you. And now not only do they let us use a lot of their space, I think in ways that other schools in Orange County aren't allowing, But they let us store some things there. I mean, it's pretty.
You hardly ever hear that.
It's pretty amazing. And you know, the principal, it's a public school, and the principal happens to be a follower of Jesus. And, man, she's just been amazing to work with. And her teachers have really embraced it. And a funny story I'll tell you, I know may not kick on time, but back of a year and a half ago, we decided, you know what, they use this room we meet in for events. And how could we make it easier for them and us? And so we, instead of, you know, we kind of did a facilities. It's funny, we did
analysis
a little,
or something.
Well, we did a little bit of an analysis, and we did a little bit of a building fund, if you will. Okay. Which is funny. It was for the public school.
Now so, you don't hear that ever.
So we did that. We put in a lot of things into the room for them. We have an interior design person in our church family who basically decked it out. And what was this was so cool. They have a fourth grade student council. And so we met with them. We provided milkshakes for them at cafe. We met with them and we said, hey, what do you want? And every idea they put on the table but one, we did in the room. Wow. And including colors, a mascot sign, because they really wanted their mascot highlighted. And it's neat. We worked it in where that covers all the wiring that drops down to plug in.
Oh, wow.
So then you coil it back up, it plugs in. So it's just, it worked out really well. And our design gal that did it, Marnie is her name, was outstanding in helping us really work that. Josh Taylor, who's on team with us, was amazing in how he configured things. And so that was cool. I think that, I don't know why, you know, because we had served them in so many other ways. But after that, the next year, every community project we did, they helped with. And their student body, it's about 1,100 students from K to 5. And those 1,100 students, every community project we did, put more into that community project from a good standpoint than anybody in our church family.
See, they're giving back to you as
it's
you
unbelievable.
Gave to them.
It's unbelievable. So it's worth that investment. It really is.
That's amazing. Well, there's some new things on the forefront for you, and I do want to make sure we get time to talk about that. Just earlier this year, you released a book called Live Sent. Tell us a little bit about the book, if you would, and tell our listening audience how they might be able to go about and get a copy of it. I actually like the book. As you know, we've given out just a good number of those to some of our church planter missionaries who we thought it was that good of a book that they ought to learn a little bit from it. So share a little bit about the journey and a little bit for our audience what the book is about.
Man, thanks, Tom, and thank you for you surprised me on that. I didn't know y'all were doing that, and I appreciate it.
I thought your publishers would tell you that.
No, the Mark Weibel is who let me know. I think he was at the plate when y'all gave it out, but anyway, he texted it to me. But yeah, I did write that. It was a really neat journey for me to put that into words on the paper. That's what we've emphasized for about 6 years now, and we just turned 6 years old. And as a church family, it's what we've really made our emphasis is that we live sent. We are, you don't go to church, you are the church. 140 plus times the New Testament refers to church, not one's a place or an event. Yeah. And so, and yet, even though that's true and that's the biblical focus, we still, in our emphases, are attaching four prepositions to the word church that the Bible never does, to, at, in, and from. And we might think that's just semantics, but it isn't if a lost world is identifying church with Sunday morning or a building. And they're doing that because we did.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is a book that I think does, I hope, this is what I've been told. I'll say that. First I'll say that there was about five guys that speak into my life that for about 3 years literally were kicking me in the tail to say, you got to write this. And
I'm glad
so,
you listened, brother.
Well, I'm thankful that they did. They really pushed me. And I love writing. So that wasn't the issue. It just was the time to do it. And the year that it ended up getting published is wild just because of some personal things with our family.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, ended up getting it done and getting it submitted and had someone really financially back that process because as a first-time writer and someone published, that's not an easy process. And so someone believed in it.
It is. Yeah, it's hard to break in.
And someone believed in it enough that they financially backed it for me, and which meant a lot. And so got that out there. And the book basically, here's what I've been told, because I really hoped that it would do two things. I hope that it would tell the everyday follower, you matter. You matter, and what you do for the kingdom matters. Your life's a letter. You're worth dying for. You matter. And I hope that it would challenge pastors to be secure enough to release the church into their people, into what God's doing in their heart, not just try to quote-unquote plug them in to what God might be doing in that pastor's heart. And no offense, I mean, I'm a pastor myself, but I think we've become too pastor-centric again in the Church of the West, and we're not releasing the church to be the church. We're very focused on the gathering instead of the sending. And gathering's not bad, but it can't be the end all, and it certainly isn't the measurement of success that Christ gave, especially when you read words like John 20:21 that say, hey, the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. So, you know, I think that's the heart of it. And so those were kind of the two purposes. And that's what people actually have encouraged me. Like, I had one guy, and this is one of the compliments that meant the world to me. This guy sat me down. He's a leader of a major network that I think you guys have even done some stuff with. And he said, man, I read the book. And he had some things he challenged me on, which were phenomenal. I love
that. And that's fair.
I love that. I mean, that's what I want. In fact, mm-hmm. I think you know me well enough
been
to
there.
Know.
Yeah.
And you know I'm a pretty straight shooter. So, you know, I want that kind of feedback. And it was very, very constructive and very helpful. But the one thing he said that meant the world to me, he said, man, I would give this to my lost friend, and I would give it to my friend who I think may be a little too self-righteous. And when he said that, I went, man, wow. That is exactly who I wrote it for. I wanted the person who's lost, who's saying, you know, why would I want to join this church? Yeah. Why would I want to do the church thing?
Yeah.
To go, wow, okay, that's compelling.
That answers why.
Right? Yeah. And then I wanted those who maybe wouldn't, I'm not saying that judgmentally, like, oh, they're self-righteous. That's almost self-righteous to say that. But those were his words. And I think what he was trying to say was, the guy's kind of stuck in a rut of church to there's more than that, right? I got I was speaking at a thing in Houston Friday and Saturday, and I got Houston, Texas, and I got a great, great question. This guy asked me as we were doing some Q&A time after the session, he said, so now where does inviting someone to church fit in? Which we don't ever say to church mm-hmm. in our church family for the sake of emphasis, but that was his question. And so, I just challenged him. I said, man, here's where it fits in. Isn't it more compelling to someone you're walking with to invite them to be the church?
Mm.
That's more compelling. I haven't met a lost person yet who's saying, I think I'll skip the lake to show up on Sunday morning. Right? But I have met a lot of lost people who are saying, no, what's this beyond self thing? What's this purpose that's bigger than me? What's compelling about the 168 hours a week of really giving my life away? Right? That's compelling. So that's where the invitation fits. And not only that, think of the conversation starter that if your neighbor says, so when do y'all go to church? And not in a smart aleck way, but in a kind way to be able to say, well, we don't. Right, we don't go to church. We are the church. Let me explain to you what we really do. And we have folks. Those are not me making that up. We have folks in our church family who those are their stories. And many of the neighbors they've connected with have been because that was a compelling conversation. So that's very meaningful, I think.
Well, that's amazing. Now, it took you probably, what, about a year to write the book probably? Or how long had you been?
From start to finish, it actually took about two. Only because there was a significant break,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and
yeah.
And so that break came. But then also, it's funny. My mom and dad were in an accident in April of 09,
yeah,
as you know.
Yes, I know. Yeah,
and I the week prior to that. In fact, on the day the night that I got the call that they were hit by the car. I was on the way back from a week of writing. I had set a week aside to finish seven chapters, and so I got seven chapters done in that week. And just it was a very intense focus. And we were on the road back from that, and got the phone call. So I had to basically over the course of the next few months
on hold.
It went on hold for a few months, and then I had to finish it quickly to get it submitted because there was we were trying to get it out. We were trying to get it out at a certain time for this certain thing we were doing, and so we had to kind of rush it, but it ended up, I think, okay.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up our podcast today, Jason, what would be one thing that from the life of the book that you would challenge our church planters? As you know, I mean, the Church Planting Group podcast goes out to church planters of all walks and all different faiths and denominations and all that. What would be one just thing you've learned, and one thing you've always been is very teachable and also been able to reproduce it in others?
Yeah.
And part of that is because of your background with reproducingchurches.com. But what would be one little nugget that you say from the book that you would just want to let me leave you with this today? What would it be?
That's a good question. I guess the one that first comes to my heart as I was praying as you asked that for wisdom on that. And I think the first one that comes to mind, that comes to my heart, is you reap what you sow. Don't expect to reap every day as you go disciple makers if you're not sowing that.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean. If you're sowing disciple making as get your neighbor to the next event, you're not going to reap every day as you go disciple makers. You're going to reap disciplers who equate evangelism and discipling, which you, I think you know my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Evangelism and discipleship, I don't think Jesus dichotomized. I think he spoke of them as discipling. But that learning and living the ways of Jesus with people, the discipling that he spoke of, I think they'll equate those types of things with invitation to church, quote unquote. So then that's what you'll reap. And and people, I think, hear that and go, it's not that big a deal. It is.
It is a big deal.
And I think if you will take a deep breath and think, okay, process this. Wow, is that what we're doing? And here's a great litmus test. Someone in your church family, they meet a lost person. What's the first thing that comes to their mind? If it's how do I invite them to church, you are not cultivating a people to live sent. If it's a prayer that says, Lord Jesus, how do I right now, right here, give me wisdom on how to love that person right here. And if that's the prayer, I would say you're cultivating a people who live sent.
Amen. Amen. Great word, great advice. Now, I'm sure every time I do a conversation with her, people want to get a hold of you, learn a little bit more about you. You're part of, you're one of four guys that a little bit over 3 years ago put together a thing called ReproducingChurches.com. You, along with Hal Holler and Robert Beckham and Billy Mitchell, the four of you put together, start small, but now God has blessed this thing. You got networks all over Florida. You had one little network, about 10. Now you got like 20-some plus networks, and God's just really blessing it. It's amazing what God's done in 3 years, is what I'm saying, Jason. But there will be someone who would want to get a hold of you and maybe talk to you a little bit more. Tell us how they could get connected with you guys.
Yeah, you know, as far as ReproducingChurches.com, obviously the name itself gives people a next step. Just www.ReproducingChurches.com.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for you,
for
as
us,
a way, yeah.
WestPointChurch.org is our church family's website. My blog, if you want to check it out, is jasoncdukes.com, jasoncdukes.com, livesent.com. You can find some things about the book and some videos even that we've done. And then a site I always like telling people about because I think it's dear to my heart. We started an online news site called humanitybeautiful.com that basically is just highlighting people who live beyond self.
Amen.
And so we're trying to do some of that, and then if they want to email me, they're welcome to. I can't stand my new email, but I'll give it out anyway. I can't stand it because of the suffix. I wish Mac had not gone to me.com, but
yeah.
It just sounds so anyway. And so so at the risk of, and I'm not being false modest, I don't like it at all, but the. But it's jasondukes@me.com. So yeah. Anyway, J-A-S-O-N-D.
I'll rib you about that when we're off the air. Okay.
But so that's it. That's how you can email me.
All
so.
Right. Well, brother, it's always good to hang with you. I just love hearing your heart and sharing with our audience just what God's doing in church planning and in your life and in your church's life and just overall ministry. So thanks for being part of our podcast today.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Well, friends, be sure to come back next week because you never know what God has in store to teach you. And as always, visit the churchplantingvillage.net for the latest of church resources for your church planting needs. Planting the seed of God's love in North America and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. By subscribing to this podcast, you've already taken some great steps to being trained and equipped for God's work of church planting. Also, be sure to check out churchplantingvillage.net for more resources and information on church planting, partnering churches, and field partners, plus the latest edition of the Church Planting Group podcast. Reaching America, Canada, and beyond, this is your Church Planting Group podcast.